silent.
You're right.
Love Talk Radio.
Okay, here we go.
Okay.
Hello. Hi. Welcome to Travel Advice Show. I'm Chris Newton, and today is May 7th, 2007, and today we're going to be talking about New Zealand, to give you a travel advice about New Zealand, and I'm the co-host, and Jerry Fuller is my other co-host. How are you doing, Jerry? Hi.
Fantastic. How are you, Chris?
Oh, doing really good. Thank you. Yeah.
Fabulous.
Yeah, and we have a great guest today. Would you like to introduce our guest, Jerry?
Yeah. Yes, it's Karen Hardy with Australia 2000, and welcome, Karen. We're thrilled to have you here.
Delighted to be here. Thanks, Jerry.
And the reason we asked Karen to come, one of the major reasons, is because her company specializes in, well, actually giving the unusual perspective to the normal and usual things, and she's fabulous. Her company is to give you a real feeling of the people. And she doesn't deal in large groups and bus tours and all that. Designs them exactly the way you want them, but really makes it so you feel the country and the culture. And she's been in business since 1992 as Australia 2000, and she's fabulous. And I think as we go through the show, you'll find out Karen is wonderful, and her company is exactly designed for those people who really want to truly experience New Zealand. So welcome, Karen.
Lovely to be here. Thank you very much, Jerry.
Yeah, welcome, Karen. It's a pleasure that you're on the show. And I just have a quick question here, Karen. When is the best time to visit New Zealand and why?
Chris, yeah. Probably any time. Depends on people's interests. For people for people who like the summer and the warm months, then that's really December, January, February. And continuing on into April is beautiful, beautiful weather. For people who want to ski, then, of course, it's reverse of here. So June, July, August is good skiing weather in the South Island.
Fabulous.
Oh, okay.
Now, I wanted to ask you a question. Why do you personally think most people choose New Zealand?
I think it's one of the mysteries still of the world. It has such an allure for people. People come back and talk about the friendly people. They are overwhelmed by the beauty of the countryside. The people of New Zealand, the Kiwis, say that the North Island is beautiful, and the South Island is spectacular, and I agree with them. And it seems that when people come back, that's what they tell me as well, and they tell their friends.
Well, you know, I rank New Zealand as a tying with Scotland as being the second most beautiful country on earth. I think Ireland is the most beautiful as far as just natural, phenomenal beauty. Like parts of Alaska and Chile and parts and Norway, fjords, they're spectacular beyond description. But, you know, New Zealand is indescribably beautiful, isn't it?
Oh, I agree with you entirely. And interestingly, New Zealand, tiny as it is, has more landform varieties than any other country in the world.
I know, particularly up north. I mean, isn't that amazing? I mean, people cannot believe those sand dunes.
Oh,
I think you're in the Sahara or someplace.
It's absolutely astonishing. And to ride those boards down them is fabulous.
I know. And see, that's one of the reasons we think you ought to consider using Australia 2000 is because they know about riding the boards down the sand dunes. And they also have helicopter tours and even chartering yachts. And why do you recommend chartering yachts, and where would you recommend doing it, Karen?
The Bay of Islands is such a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful area, Jerry. And we have quite enough.
Tell us where the Bay of Islands is.
Oh, beg your pardon. The Bay of Islands is at the very north of New Zealand, at the top of the North Island.
Mm-hmm.
It's many little islands sprinkled around the mainland there. And there's good snorkeling, and there's dolphins, and there's a hole in the rock, and lots of little islands to moor on. It's a beautiful, beautiful area.
And it has a very typically un-New Zealand climate, doesn't it?
It does. It's subtropical, and so it has pahutukawas growing beside palm trees. It's absolutely exquisite, exquisite area. Very popular with the Kiwis for summer vacations.
Yes, it's their Hawaii.
Very much so. Not quite as many people, but it is their Hawaii.
Oh, yeah, it's fabulous. Now, one thing that I really find fascinating about New Zealand is the Maori, the local indigenous people that live there. And where are they located, and what do you recommend people do when they're visiting the Maori?
Well, Maoris live all over New Zealand, but there are many places now where people can go and actually meet the Maoris rather than going to real commercial place. So Rotorua has many, many commercial marais. Uh-huh. But there are quite a number of places, again, in the Bay of Ireland. There's a Māori man up there who'll take people for a guided walk through the giant kauri woods, and the kauri forest is a little bit like the Californian redwood. Huge, huge trees. And there's one up there that's 2,000 years old, and the man has the stories all about the tribal beliefs that go with this tree. Mm-hmm. Coming further down the island, in Auckland, there's a young woman who's a university graduate, and she and her a friend of hers called Bianca, so Melissa and Bianca, have started a company that they take people around Auckland to see it and to learn about Auckland from a young Māori's perspective. So people learn the history of the Māori people, but see how their lives are influenced by the past and the present. So Melissa is absolutely wonderful. A little bit further to the east, people can go to Gisborne, and there is... We have some people that have a beautiful lodge, and they have an agreement with the Māori people so that they will take them to the Māori Marae, the meeting place, and people can stay there overnight if they wish. Mm-hmm. Very different to staying in a lodge, but it's all there. And interestingly, further south, there's a place called Mount Taranaki, and that is the English word for that mountain is Mount Egmont, and there's a Māori group there, Māori company, who will take people sailing in a waka, and a waka is the big canoe, and they go down the Whanganui River and stop at a marae, and it's a traditional one, and when people arrive, they're given the traditional welcome, and their untouchableness is removed, and that's just the aura that we all have, and when the untouchableness is removed, people can go onto the marae, and spend an evening there with the people. And the next day, when they're ready to leave, their untouchableness is given back to the people. And then they go sailing down the Whanganui River a little further and stop at a bed and breakfast. So it's an amazing way of learning about the Māori people. And then further down, there's the wonderful marae that's called Māori Treasures, and this is for people who, it's by invitation only to come onto the marae. It's a marae that has four generations of people there, and it's one where they're teaching the young Māoris the skills and the craft, so you can see people learning to weave, to make jewelry. When I was there last, I saw a man was teaching children how to make wooden instruments. And absolutely amazing, amazing place. So it is wonderful, but in the South Island there are several places as well. But I have a lovely story to tell you about the Māori people of the history. I was having a meeting just last weekend with a lady from the New Zealand Tourist Commission, who is a Māori woman, and she was telling me in this Mount Taranaki area that there was a time in the 1860s when the British were colonizing New Zealand, and they were looking for a fertile part of the land, and they were up in the Bay of Ireland, and they were coming down the island looking for a fertile place. And in the looking, there was a lot of bloodshed. They were killing people. And the Māori chief knew that the people were coming, and he wanted to stop them and defend his part of the land. And he gathered 2,500 brave warriors from the local tribes and had them all ready. And he was thinking, as he had them ready to fight, he was thinking about the bloodshed that had been spilled and wondering how on earth he could stop this. And he slept on the thing, and the next morning woke up and realized that what he would do was he would not send out his warriors, but instead he would send out 600 children. So all of the children from the local marais were sent out, and they were singing songs of peace as the British were coming. And, of course, they stopped in the tracks. It's a beautiful story.
Fabulous.
So probably the first issue of Peaceful Resistance, I guess, non-violent.
That's great. That's a great story.
Isn't it a fabulous story, Chris?
Yeah.
I feel honored to know it.
Yes. Thank you for sharing it with us. Now, one place that I've been to New Zealand myself probably 25 times or more, and one place that I have not really enjoyed, only because there's other places that I think are fabulous, but that city is Wellington. I understand that they're really doing things in Wellington. Can I talk about Wellington a moment?
Yeah, sure, Jerry. It's a lovely, lovely, lovely city, much as it's known as Windy Wellington. It has changed enormously since the 90s when I firstly went there and found that the restaurants all closed at 8 o'clock at night. But
I know. That's why I never went.
Right, indeed. It took me a long time to get back, I must admit. But things have changed. And, and now Wellington has a very healthy cafe society that is of which they're very, very proud. And in actual fact, it's such a cafe society that there are little cappuccino machines, wagons, just parked on the sidewalk. And people can walk up and buy a cup of coffee from the vendor, and off they go. So it's changed in those terms enormously. And there's beautiful gardens there, of course. And there is a very big museum called Te Papa that was given to the people of New Zealand, I think, in about 95 or 97, in the middle 90s, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It's absolutely amazing museum. It really is a very hands-on one so that people can go in and experience an earthquake. And interestingly, because I grew up in Australia, to walk through there and to see, there's an old mixmaster, the same as my mother used to have, and it's there's my life in front of me. But there's also, as I said, this wonderful marae, the Marae Treasures Marae. In addition to that, for people who love food and wine, there are a couple of ladies there who are quite hip, and they'll take people on a walking tour of Wellington to visit all the shopkeepers. So at breakfast time, the coffee maker is out making a cup of coffee and showing people how the coffee is roasted, and then wander on to the bread-making shop, and then wander on to a butcher's that's been started by some stockbrokers, but it's very, very interesting, and finishes up at an absolutely brilliant restaurant called Logan Brown. And there you have a degustation meal. I think it's about four courses with wine included. So that's a brilliant, brilliant trip for people who enjoy food and wine, as I do. And I'm not the only one, I'm sure. But also for people who are loving Lord of the Rings, there's a fabulous full-day tour there that takes people to the sets where much of the film was made. And it's a brilliant, brilliant trip. You can go and see where Frodo recovered from his knife attack and many different things like this. Go to Peter Jackson's sets. So it's a brilliant, brilliant thing. And in addition, there's a man who will take people to a gallery that's called the Stansborough Gallery. And this is a lovely gallery. It's run by some people who are local who have bought looms from the 1800s. Mm-hmm. And they grow their own sheep, shear the sheep, dye the wool, and they had the contract for making the Lord of the Rings cloaks. And so you can go there to this day and put on the cloaks and go through. The gallery feels like you're walking onto a stage set with all of the cloaks hanging everywhere. It's a brilliant day.
My word. So Wellington's really come up.
It has. It's changed. It's gotten some life. And, of course, the Parliament building is there, the beehive. But,
right.
So there's the old and the new.
Well, now we've covered quite a bit of the North Island. And we didn't cover the famous things like Rotorua and Taupo, and we'll come back to those if you get a chance, because I want to cross over to the South Island because we're about halfway with the program, and I want to start with Nelson, because I love Nelson, and I understand, Karen, that you love it all. Is that true?
Oh, Jerry, it's my favorite part of New Zealand.
Yeah.
I absolutely adore it. I find it such an interesting spot, and the fact that there's more sunlight hours there than any other part of New Zealand, of course, attracts me enormously. But also, not only does it attract, it's attracted many, many people from different areas, many artisans. In actual fact, there are over 350 different artisans there, making jewelry and glass blowing and weaving and potters and painters. So it's a wonderful feeling like that. But in addition to the people that it's attracted in the arts, it's also attracted a lot of vintners. So there's some good wineries there, great restaurants. But then, in addition to all of the man stuff, there are three wonderful national parks.
Yes.
So people can go sailing in Abel Tasman National Park on a cruise there, hiking through the park, kayaking in the park. And there's a bloke there who runs a particularly good three-day hike through the through the Abel-Tasman National Park, and it can be 3 days of hiking or hiking and kayaking, depending on how many people want. And it's not camping, it's accommodated. The family has been in the area for five generations, and so they are very familiar with the area. They own a couple of these lovely lodges that people stay at, and you don't have to carry your luggage. It's sort of transported away from spot to spot. So it's a brilliant trip. People love it. Absolutely marvelous.
And the nice thing oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead. Oh, and then further north, there is Farewell Spit. That's the very the very top part of the South Island, and there's a lovely lighthouse there that's got red. Its legs are painted red because they were the Red Sox of the America's Cup.
I know, it's clever. Now, the neat thing on the South Island is there's also diversification in scenery, but I know there are two basic ways that you can go. Well, as you mentioned, Nelson is at the very top of the South Island, and it is there are two ways that you can get down to the most famous city in the South Island, Christchurch. And you want to talk about the two ways. One of them is train and driving.
Right.
We'll go by the train in downtown Nelson, but there's different ways that you can get through. You want to talk about that just a bit?
Yeah, very much so. Now, the drive is absolutely gorgeous from Nelson to Christchurch. It goes along a beautifully through rugged mountains, and you can stop along the way at Mussel Pot and have some wonderful green-shelled mussels cooked in a very casual way. But it goes through a lot of vineyards around the way. In the Blenheim area, there's just many, many vineyards and many olive groves. So you can stop and see the olives being pressed and the wine being made. There's a lovely winery called Highfield that not only does have good wine, but it has a great restaurant and a particularly good view. Further along in that same area, you can also go a little bit further onto the coastline and see the Marlborough Sounds along the Queen Charlotte Drive there. It's absolutely spectacular. When you're going that way, you'll see sea lions lying on the rocks and soaking up the sun, and then come down again through the valley and out onto the east coast and down to a lovely little place called Kaikoura. And Kaikoura is very, very famous for being a whale-watching area. They have sperm whales there most of the time. And in actual fact, when people go on a whale-watching tour there, they have a 95% record of sighting whales. If they don't see a whale, they get the money back.
Well, that's a good deal.
That's a great deal. And in addition to that, there's a lot of birds that follow the boat. So that again, there's dolphins that people can go swimming with. There's whale-watching that people can be part of, and just seeing all the birds. And they actually catch the most succulent crayfish around that area. And there's a lovely little stand. It's painted white. It's like a little caravan stand. And the man there cooks up the crayfish for people. Clients of mine came back with the story about how much they were loving being in Kaikoura and doing all these wonderful things. And they'd gone to this little stand and bought their crayfish, and they're just sitting down on a little park bench to have crayfish for lunch. And a seagull swooped down and grabbed the man's lobster crayfish, and off it flew with off it flew and left the people with nothing. But and there's a fabulous walk out in that area as well, on the peninsula there. Coming further down there, there's also a great sheep farm if people are interested in such things. And the thing that I find so breathtaking about this is that it's on a part of the land where Precambrian, I think is what it is the time of the period, but it's they're finding fossilized dinosaurs.
Really?
And, yeah. They
in New
found,
Zealand?
Yeah, in New Zealand. They found a whole one on this same farm, but they've also got their what they call God's marbles, and they're huge boulders that are elliptical in shape, look like limestone when they're dry. When they're wet, they've got a real bronzy color to them, and inside each one is a fossilized dinosaur egg.
Really?
Yeah. Can you believe it? So
now, is it where you can see it, like in a museum or something?
No, it's on this man's property. You go and go and stay with this man, and he'll take you around to see it all.
Oh, so you see the real thing.
You see the real thing. Oh, the dinosaur itself is actually in a museum. It was recently placed there, I think Christchurch Museum.
But the rest of it's all there.
Oh, gosh, and it is such a beautiful, beautiful place. And there's a part of the rocks there there's a cliff that's called the Bishop's Head, because looking at it in profile, you can just see the bishop there. So for all of those reasons is why I love that area.
I know. It's a magnificent place, and most people never go to the north part of the South Island.
You're right, Jerry.
They start in Christchurch, and they run over to Mount Cook, and they run down to Queenstown and Milford Sound, and that's about all they see.
Yeah.
And the South Island, you could spend 3 months there.
Oh, easily. It is so beautiful. And there's no need to be involved with all of the heavy commercial tourism if one doesn't want to be so.
I know. And one thing I wanted to mention about Christchurch, I mean, Christchurch has been known for centuries practically as being more English than England.
Yeah.
But now they're becoming almost known as the Adrenaline City. Why do you think that's true?
Well, I actually think that we've confused a couple of cities there. The Queenstown is the one that's the Adrenaline City.
Oh, Queenstown.
Yeah. And Christchurch is most certainly the English one.
Yes, it is. I'm at Queenstown.
No. Queenstown is the adrenaline capital of the world, and there are so many things that people can do there. Apart from being on the edge of one of the largest lakes in New Zealand, it's called Lake Wakatipu, where people can, the sight is just breathtaking to come around that corner and here is the lake is just magic. But, you know, people are doing all these weird and wonderful things like tandem parachuting that I have done there. And it, you know, it's magic, but they can go whitewater rafting, they can go hang gliding, parachute jumping. And so all of these things are absorbing. But in addition to all of the weird and wonderful, crazy, risk-taking things, there are the beautiful, beautiful dark sounds there. So there's Milford Sound and Dartford Sound. And I tend to recommend to people that they go to Dartford Sound simply because, one, it's a bit larger than Milford, but two, it's not nearly as well publicized, so far fewer people go there. And I find it a little bit distressing to be in Milford Sound these days and be on that cruise with,
with 8,000 other people.
Exactly. And they all seem to want to push people in the ribs.
I know. And now, let me ask real quickly about, one thing, that jet boat ride.
Yeah.
I mean, that is one of the scariest rides in the world, isn't it?
Well, it is. It really is. You know, and it's sort of, I remember an elderly gentleman calling me up and saying, well, Karen, once my heart started beating again, and it seems that those jet boat riders, drivers are particularly well skilled, and the one in the canyon, people are the challenge.
I know, you know you're going to die.
Yeah, indeed. There's not a chance that you won't, and the challenge is to come as close to that canyon wall as is humanly possible.
I know, and they sure know how to do it.
Oh, isn't it astonishing? But I must say, Jerry, that there's one for people who aren't quite as big a risk takers is that on the Dart River. And that's much slower. The Dart River is also seen from Lord of the Rings. And there's a beautiful half-day trip you can do up on a four-wheel drive and then go on the one of these jet boats, but it goes up the river quite slowly and does a couple of those turns. And then people get off and do a bit of a walk through the rainforest there and come back. So it's not one that really stops people's hearts quite to the same degree. But,
but it gives them a thrill.
It gives them such a thrill.
Well, speaking of thrills, and one thing that I've not done it there, but I understand is becoming popular, and you'd never associate it with New Zealand, is people renting Harley Davidson.
Isn't that fabulous? Isn't that brilliant?
I think it's magnificent, but you'd never believe it, would you?
No, not at all.
Maybe in some other place, but not New Zealand.
But not New Zealand, and I don't think that there's thousands of people doing it because not thousands of people know about it. But we've helped guys sort of hire some bikes and then charter them a course all around the North Island and then around the South Island. And they've had an absolutely brilliant time and just going for a putt around beautiful South Island. We planned a trip for a few blokes not so long ago that were gone, I think, 3 weeks in total.
Wow. And, on bikes?
Yeah, on bikes.
So they
stopped at bed and breakfast along the way, or little boutique hotels, and did all the crazy things, but got from spot to spot on their bikes.
Well, that's another thing that's really fabulous about New Zealand, is the variety of places to stay. I mean, you name it, and they've got it.
They've got it, indeed. And the variety has increased enormously since 1992 when I first started doing this. And the now seem to be, the people have a better sense, I guess, of what the international traveler needs. At one stage, the heating wasn't good enough, and people would wake up cold. But now, the bed and breakfast are absolutely fabulous, and people jump up and make people's breakfast before they go out on these marvelous trips, and bake bread and all these wonderful things. In fact, we've got a beautiful bed and breakfast in Nelson, where the lady's an artist and the man's a pilot. So between the two of them, they entertain everybody, and often the man is the host is actually flying the people from Nelson back to Wellington. That there is an enormous array of accommodations, and there's some wonderful lodges these days that are incredible.
And picked out some of those lakes in North Island, especially. Phenomenal beyond description.
Aren't they?
I mean, they're world-class hotels.
Oh, they are. They're absolutely marvelous. And, you know, there's a couple up there in Bay of Islands these days that are just breathtaking. One is so large it will take a whole family, plus the bodyguard and the nanny and whoever else might want to come along. But beautiful things. And obviously down there's Porikoho down in just out of Wellington. That's beautiful. And if people want to play golf, there's a beautiful lodge up at Tarry Cliffs, so Bay of Islands again. Reputedly the sixth best championship golf club in the world. Lovely cottages. So certainly the choice is there. And as I said earlier, people can stay on a marae if they want. And that's about as far from the luxury as you can get. But there's certainly everything in the middle.
And they even have motels and normal kind of a property and farm stays.
Indeed, very much so.
Quite a unique experience there.
Oh, and very much so. And you know, there's an absolutely beautiful farm stay out in Arthur's Pass Wilderness Lodge. And the man there, Drew McSweeney, has a PhD of environmental science. His passion is just breathtaking. He'll take people walking through the mountains and in the Southern Alps. Absolutely brilliant. And once we get to the...
Go ahead.
What's more, you can get to him by the Transalpine Express from Christchurch through the Southern Alps. So it's a wonderful...
That is fabulous, isn't it? That is fabulous. Yeah. One thing we need to talk about, because they're really world famous, is their trout fishing down that country.
Isn't it amazing? And the thing that I love about it is the fact that there is this wonderful, wonderful trout that is so succulent and just tastes pristine. And there's plenty of it. But the interesting thing is that the only people who get to eat trout are the people who catch it. The rules are...
You have to earn it.
You sure do, Chris. You can't buy it in a restaurant. You can't buy it at a fishmonger or a supermarket. You literally have to catch it. So we certainly have guides who will take people out fishing and also make sure that people are staying with someone who is a particularly good chef so that the trout will be cooked beautifully as well. But yes, there's trout fishing, or a lot of trout fishing areas, particularly in the South Island. And in the North Island around Taupo, there's some particularly good trout fishing as well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we're almost out of time. We only have about one or two more minutes. Is there anything else that you think we should talk about that's unique? We haven't really covered all the details of the Milford Trek and the big city too much. And the normal things that people talk about. But is there anything else you think we ought to talk about?
Yeah.
That shows how interesting and varied and fascinating, and things that your company can do that most people would not even believe.
Right. Okay. Well, we can do all the things that we've just spoken about and help people sort of have the trip that really works just for them. We love to chat with people and find out things that make their lives sing on a daily basis, and our wealth.
Where would you recommend that they go helicoptering?
Helicoptering! Now that's what we should talk about. Yes, indeed.
We have about 1 minute.
Minute. Now let me tell you that there's many places, but in the Fiordland National Park, so Queenstown area, there's a particularly good crew there who will do no matter what it takes to give people the trip of their lives. In actual fact, we've just arranged for a couple who've just on their honeymoon, to who say they live on the edge. So what we've done is we've set up for them to have dinner on the edge. The helicopter is flying up, the chef who's preparing this lovely dinner right on the edge of a mountain, and then coming back and picking up the people and taking them up to the mountain. So the wine is there, all of the food is there, and candles will be lit, and people will have this beautiful, beautiful dinner. And when they're ready to come back, they've got a walkie-talkie, a cell phone, and they call up the pilot who'll come flying back in and pick them up, and back they'll go.
It's absolutely astonishing.
It's absolutely brilliant. And there's quite a number of trips in that area that will take people down, helicoptering down through the sound and land on a glacier and have a wonderful picnic and walk in Mount Aspiring National Park. And and there's another brilliant one. Where is it? Oh, out of Nelson, that goes up to Farewell Spit. It stops along the way so that people can do some hiking in the national park, kayaking if they wish. It stops at a homestead for afternoon tea, picnic lunch. Absolutely brilliant things. If people can make their budget stretch, that very big stretch, then a helicopter flight in Queenstown in New Zealand is really, really magic. I took my first helicopter flight in New Zealand, as a matter of fact.
Well, Karen, we thank you very much. This has been fabulous. We'll have to have you back.
Well, I'd love to come back, and I'm honored that you would call and ask
me. Yes, thank you, Karen. It's been a pleasure.
Yes.
And to meet you,
Karen Hardy
of
Australia 2000.
Australia 2000 Travel, that's right.
Yep. Alrighty, well, thanks very much. And what are we doing next week, Chris?
Next week is we're talking about sustainable tourism with Dr. Linda Rolstein, and just like how to travel and being conscious of sustainable tourism, ecotourism. So that's going to be a great show next Monday. And and don't forget to check out the website, www.traveladviceshow.com. And
we'll have more information
on
the
website. It was a
great
New Zealand show. And
Australia 2000 will be listed there, and you can go to their website. All righty, well, thanks so much, and we'll see you next week.
Okay, sounds good, and have a great week. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you, Karen.
Okay, thanks. Bye-bye, Jerry.
Okay, bye.